All right, then, here we go. So this class goes till 4:30, is it? Just trying to figure out when your break is. 4:30? Okay. All right. So we're at this place. Zokxing, it's misspelled here, it should be Z-H-I, okay? Daytam jeki ne sum du, chiwar ku dorje namnang ki ngo omkar po sok, dorje sum ki rangshin ki yiken du sum gu. Zokxing means all the lamas in the lama field, right? What is there, boogers? Tamjeki, all of there. Nesum means three places, meaning forehead, throat, and chest. Here it just says three places, right? To chiwar. Chiwar means at the tip of the head, but when you're talking about the three holy syllables, you always put it here, okay? You don't put it here. Chiwar. Ku Dorje means, these are called the three diamonds. They are three holy syllables marking the body of an enlightened being, okay? And if a person has the three diamonds on them, it symbolizes that they are enlightened. And they act enlightened, they speak enlightened, and they think enlightened. So these three syllables are placed at the three centers of action, speech, and thought. So this one isn't what you would think. Okay? Meaning what? You'd think it would be your thought, but in Tibet, thought is at your heart. So this means your body here. So this is called Ku Dorje. There's a Om letter here. Om syllable. It's really not a letter, right? It's a syllable. Here there's an Om at their Chitu, Minsam. Sorry, Minsam. Nam nangi ngo, the essence of that is Vairochana. It's a white Om letter, etc. Okay? So let's talk about the etc. At the throat is an A letter. What color? Red. I don't know who it's supposed to relate to, but who would relate to red in the five Buddhas? Amitabha. Okay? And that's speech, obviously, enlightened speech. And then at the heart is Hung, and a blue color, which would be Akshobhya. Okay, so these are, each one of these beings, if you're into spending the rest of your life visualizing them all day, you not only visualize them, but they should be marked with those three syllables. Okay, Omahung, body, speech, and mind, the three diamonds. Dorje Sumki Rangshin, misspelled here, one N. The nature is Yiken Dru Sum. The other day we talked about the word Dru as meaning a piece of grain, because they were talking about grain stocked in a pile, and we said that Dru could also mean a letter of the alphabet. So here it's used in that sense, okay? Those are the three letters. Om Ahum, which are really not letters, they're syllables, right? But it's okay. Gu means you should place them, you should position them here on those, all the lamas that you're visualizing and all the tantric deities that you're visualizing. Dunchar Miselyang, misspelled here, it should be Dunchar, C-H-A-R. The typist was having a bad day on this page, okay? I'm sorry. By the way, everything is typed by two people independently. All the texts are typed by two people independently. Then somebody compares those two on an automated program, and then when they see a difference, they're supposed to check the original text. Then another person does that. And then a fifth person compares those two people's work. So theoretically, it's impossible for this page to have occurred. But this is one of the first texts we ever input because it was the most important. So maybe, you know, we were a little shaky in those days. All right. Dunchar means in the recitation text, which is Kelsan Dungen, a necklace for the throats of those of great virtue, which it would be fun to do in Guadalajara if we have time. It's just the recitation text for the 6 preliminary practices to meditation, which was written by Pabongkhwa Rinpoche's own teacher. And Rinpoche, my Rinpoche, our Rinpoche, required that we learn and memorize that text before he would teach us Tantra. So in the first years in Howell, like 1975, 6, 7, we learned that. Dunchan Miselyang, even though it's not clear in the recitation text, Dewar, at the navel, misspelled twice. Renjing is Renjun, okay? R-I-N-B-Y-U-N-G, which is what? Renjun. Ratnakara, golden color, south. The Buddha of the south, okay? Renjungi Ngo is a sva, serpo. A golden or yellow colored sva syllable should be placed at their tewa, at their navel, okay? These are representing chakras also, okay, so at the navel chakra. So these three diamonds are very common in Tantra, Om, Ah, and Hum. He says, at a swa, at the navel, okay, yellow. Sang Nesu means, sang means secret, ne means place. Sang ne means the sexual organ, okay, or the base, either the base of the sexual organ or the tip of the sexual organ in either sex, okay. Sang ne du dun drup king mo is a syllable which is of the essence of a Mogo city, okay? And it's a ka misspelled, very dangerous here, okay? It should have been ha, H apostrophe A. This is terrible couple paragraphs. Because ka, you could visualize a ka there and you'd be in trouble, okay? So what do you have navel and secret place together is? Swaha. So even if you go to India, Varanasi nowadays, and they're doing a homa, a fire offering, they'll be throwing in the grain and they're going, swaha. Okay, it's an important, shitsuk, say shitsuk. Shitsuk means you make a mantra and then swaha is like nails it down. It means nails it down, okay. So the swaha, you're supposed to add now 2 syllables on the bodies of your teacher and the other lamas in this picture, okay? Swaha. Swaha. Jangu, green color. Yang Gopasum, it is stated that you should place those 2 extra letters, okay? Which we've never seen in the Vajrayogini Tantra, for example. Dorje Sumni Sangye Kone Kechu Yin. The 3 diamonds, Om Ahung, placed on the body are peculiar to enlightened beings only. Kona. Kecha means it's a feature of them that they have these 3 syllables. Yinbei, therefore, Sokshinki Nyenrang, the lower track practitioners pictured in this picture on I forget which tier, it was like 4th or 5th tier or something, okay? Nyenrang Sokyang, number their tamsam matok. They are only represented in the physical appearance of lower arhats, but in actuality, ngo, they are sangye. They are also Buddhas. Okay, everybody in this picture is a Buddha, even if they're not pictured that way. Like if they're pictured as a bodhisattva who hasn't reached enlightenment, or they're pictured as a lower track arhat who hasn't reached enlightenment, that's only on the outside. Inside, they are all Buddhas because they have the Om Ahung on them. Okay. Dayang Belma, it should be Blama, okay? BLA Lama. Dayang Lama Kone Namdu Du Shegu. The reason we put the 3 diamonds on all the figures in the Tsokshing is so that you can appreciate that they are all the Namtul Kona of your Lama. Tulpa. They are all the emanation only. They are only emanations of your Lama. Everybody in the picture is an emanation of your Lama, which is a good justification for dropping all the other guys and just, in my mind, and just focusing on the central Lama. Okay, I like it. Okay, it doesn't say that. I'm just extrapolating. Shegut. Shego here means it's meant to force you to realize. Okay? Shego means understand, must, right? Tamje Semba Sumse Su Jawe Menga Kyang Yu. There is also a private advices or oral tradition that you can picture them all as the Semba Sumtsek, which is you do the Buddha within a Buddha with a Hung letter in the inside, okay? Which we talked about before. Dedar Tsokshin Nam Nangor Sel Lekpa Tepa Dam Mungor Denan Dengo Yin Yamba Dam. Then he concluded in a way by saying, on this section, by saying that you should have three conceptions in your heart as you visualize your teacher. This is a pre-meditation practice, right? Number one, Nangor. We had this kind of thing in the Ngengo Ranshin Mepa. Do you remember that? It appears to you as empty. You take it as empty. Its essence is empty. Ngengo Ranshin Mepa. Ngengo Ranshin Mepa. Anyway, Dengao. And that's me. We had it in Vajrayogini. So the word Ngo, we've talked about it a couple times. Ngo means the surface of a wall or the part of a face which is being shown to you, or the surface of the chest which is shown to you. So it means the, what do you call it? The edifice. It's like an edifice. It means the surface of an object which is turned towards you. Okay? So your surface of you, okay, in this case. And then to your exposed surface, appears things, okay? You're like a mirror. Your mind is like a mirror. That's a ngo. And then things appear to that, okay? So nangor means what you should see incoming data, incoming shells, okay? What you should see incoming is all these beings visualized, okay? They are appearing to your face as these beings, okay? Number one. That's the first one. Two, Lekpa Tepa, do a good job on the visualization. Mungor, how you take it, see? How it comes in, and then how you take it to your heart, how you should feel about it. De ngu yin. They are ngu. They're the real thing, okay? They're not just some kind of picture. And that you've got to struggle with that. Like, I strongly encourage you to not visualize paintings or photos, right? Like, a visualization in this tradition means the person came and they're sitting there. And how aware can you be that they're really there? Okay, so ngu means to your mental picture senses, they look like those divine beings. To your feelings, you believe they are real. Okay? And then he says, to your faith, Dengor, Yone Pultu Chungwe Dushe, you should think they have all these beautiful qualities. Okay? All these beautiful qualities. Things you would like to learn. Okay? I when I left my old lady today, she like opens the screen, the sliding door. Where's Nick? We gotta fix the sliding door. Like, it takes three people to open the thing. Of course, that's probably the only exercise she ever gets, but it's like an 1840s steel door, sliding glass door. And she throws it open. Like, I'm already halfway down the... She throws it open and she says, and tell Christine I miss her smile. Aww. You know, and I'm like, okay, all right. And like that, I mean, the last, so there's three conceptions, right? Incoming data, they are these exquisite deities. How I feel about them is they're the real thing. And then my faith towards them is that I would like to have that kind of smile. Or I would like to be that kind of person. You know, what is exemplary about your teacher that you want to be? Somebody asked me, I was somewhere, and they said, do you think so-and-so, I should take them as a teacher? And it just occurred to me, I said, well, do you want to be like them? You know, and then they were like, you know, and then because that's the meaning of to be a teacher, right? To be a student of a teacher means you're going to turn out like that. Is that what you want? You know, and so the third conception is, here are the things that I would like to be like about this person, okay? All right. Okay, so you got to have those three conceptions. We just reached class 4. We were supposed to finish 5 classes by this afternoon, but I got slowed down a little bit by all those other stories and stuff. So that's too bad. I also didn't have time to do homeworks for you, and I apologize, and I don't know when I'll have time, but I'm aware that I didn't do them. Okay. To research all this stuff takes a very lot of time. Okay, so anyway. When you have completed this visualization, when the visualization is complete in front of you, Yeshi Pa Chen Den Pa Yin Ching, you should invite the wisdom beings. Okay? So there are what we call pledge beings, Dham Tsipa. And there are things we call wisdom beings. Okay? And this is an exercise that you go through in Tibetan meditational practices when you visualize a sacred being. You're supposed to picture them, and then you're supposed to load them. Okay? So it's like they are hollow shells. You get the visualization right, and then you load them with the spirit of that being. And usually you invite the spirit from another place, and then they come over the visualized person, and then they melt down into them. Za hum va ho, right? In the Vajrayogini Tantra. They pause, the spirit, they are empty shells, then the spirit comes from some enlightened realm. They come down to the top of the being, and then you go zahum baho, and then they slip in. And they become, then that being is charged, and they're the real thing. Okay? So up to then, they're like a shell or something. He's going to discuss that Tibetan custom of doing it like that. Chen den ba ying ching, deyang chen den gepa gopa minte. It's not necessarily the case that you have to bring forth, invite forth, these wisdom beings, these spirits to inhabit the shells, okay? That whole exercise of picturing a shell and then loading it, he says, is not necessarily something you need to do, okay? It's just a tradition. Rangki mapache patsamki dunna shukte, because the moment you wanted them to be there, they were there. Okay? It's not that you visualize them and then you have to load them with the real thing. The moment you thought to visualize them, they were already there, loaded. You know? So we have this exercise of, and why we do that, he's going to explain. But he says you don't have to do it. Okay? You should understand that that's not a necessary exercise. Why? The moment you think of asking them there, they're there. They knew a billion years ago you were going to think to ask them anyway. Okay? It's not even that they have to wait for you to think of it. You think of it and they're there already. Because they knew, they read your mind a zillion years ago. They see all history as you see the palm of your hand. All future and past history, all events, all people, all planets, all universes, they are always in a state of perception of those things directly. So, you know, dealing with a Buddha is kind of frustrating, okay? All right, there's no drama or anything. Dole, and then he quotes a sutra. Because there's that sutra that says, Kangi mepat sorchena dei duna tupa shuk. Anybody who really devotes themselves or surrenders. For anyone who surrenders and has the true wish in their heart, the Buddha is standing before them in that moment. Okay, so a sutra says, just wish. What is it in the Bible? Ask and you shall receive. Just wish that they are there, and they're there. Before you're done wishing, they're there. Okay, that's what the sutra says. So of course he just says a sutra. Okay, I went and found it for you. It's from a sutra called Zanlunkito. Say Zang.
Zang.
It's a prenasal, if you care. Nzang.
Lun.
Kido. It's a super sexy sutra. Somebody should translate it, okay? Zang means wise people. Lun means fools. It's called the Sutra of the Wise and the Fools. And it's awesome. It's an awesome sutra, okay? So that's the source of that quotation. Just wish and he'll be there or she'll be there, okay? The Buddha. I like the story, and I want to tell you the whole story. So I chopped it out of the sutra, and you get the whole story. It's a nice story. I think we should have like Lam Rim movie night. That guy that got in the cave, and the guy was going to cook him, and he was like, no, I got to go pay that teacher $3 for what he taught me, but I'll be back. You know, that's got to be made into a movie. Here's another one, okay? This is also... We should just make a Lam Rim Quotation Sutra movie or something. But we won't call it that. So here we go. By the way, the verse that you find in Namdar Lakchang is a paraphrase. So it made it even more difficult to find. Okay, it's not a direct quotation. You should know that. It was, as they say, based on the sutra. But it's not from the sutra. It's a paraphrase, which makes it more difficult to find in the 100,000 pages of sutras. Anyway, Rangi Depe Lagma Togna Sangeki Tukche Tule Yumi Site. Let me see. So I'm actually taking this version of it from Jetsun Kapa's version of it, okay, which is the Lam Rim Chungwa. His shorter Lam Rim. Okay, he gives the story from the sutra, so I'm using his version of the story. If you want the full version, go to that sutra. Rangi depe lama tona sangiki tuche dule yuwa misite. It could be the case that your faith is not enough, but it's never the case that the Buddha wouldn't have enough compassion. Just wish and they will be there. Okay? That's how he starts out his discussion. Ngun Gyalpo Selgyal. In ancient times, there was a king named Selgyal, which is the Tibetan for Prasena Ajit. Okay? Prasena Ajit. La Pumo, he had a daughter named Dorje Ma. Okay? Diamond Lady. If you look for Dorje Ma in the Zanglung Sutra, you won't find anything. The Ma was added later. Her name was just Dorje. Her name was Diamond. Okay, Dorje Ma. Jawa, Yidu Mi Ongwa. She was ugly. Kangne Te Kyang. No matter what angle you looked at her, Di Mi Min Nam Nyamba, you would wonder if she was even a human. Kewa Shi Chungwa. The whole story is very beautiful in the sutra. He's abbreviating it, right? And nobody wanted to marry the princess. She was a princess, but no one wanted to marry her. Longken Yang Manye. Nya Yang Mindupa Chungna. And the king was even embarrassed to have her in the palace. He didn't want to even keep her in the palace. So, Rangi Bangrik Ru Towa Shigla Chimbe. There was some kind of a court intrigue. If you read the whole sutra, there's some kind of court intrigue going on. Someone's trying to cheat the king and marry his daughter so they can get half his money. So he tricked that guy. into taking her. Okay, he hadn't seen her. Then Bangrek means his people. Rutoa means one of the noblemen. Gave it to this nobleman. De Gyalpe Jimbar Song Shin Nang Du Sukyang Mi Tongsar Bene Shakte. I can't understand all the Tibetan, but it's something like when the king had given her to him, Nangdusukyan Mitongsar, he wanted to hide her in his estate where no one would ever see her. Bene Shakte. So Toche Legbar Chin, and decided that he would give her very good food, but would keep her locked up. Kim Dak Korang Shendu Doetse, and whenever that nobleman went out of his estate, he Pumo De Gamshiki Nanduchuk, he would order the girl, the princess, locked into a wooden box. Okay, and Pupa Shik Ne, she made a hole. She found a, what do you call that, in a piece of wood? And she found a knot and she knocked it out. Okay, so she could at least look out, you know. Gam Shik Ne Nangduchuk, Pupa Shik No Doser Sache, and they would feed her food, spoon her food through the hole. Okay, Sache Gam La Gochak Yap. And they put a big iron lock on the box, okay? Kept her in a box. Deme Korangi Amtak. Good luck on finding Amtak in a dictionary, but I did. In an ancient Tibetan dictionary, it means his breast pocket. He kept the demik, which is what? The key. He would keep the key in his breast pocket because he didn't want anyone to see her. Amtak to Chuk Doa Yimbala. And then he would go out, you know. Nanching Chomden De Jimbala. One day, Lord Buddha was traveling in their area. Mi Tam Che Tawar drove to Shik, and many of the people went to see Lord Buddha. Mi Ni Ki Pumo Dorji Ma Tawar Che Ne. Then there were two guys, two like, what do you call them, mischievous guys. Of course, they decided they wanted to see the princess in the box. They heard about the princess in the box. And they were dying to see her, right? So, Tawar Cheney, Chang Kierte. So they brought a couple of bottles of beer. Pumo Dorje Kim Tup De La Chin. And they got the man drunk, her husband, the nobleman. They got him drunk, okay? So he passed out. Then, of course, they stole the key. De Rarowa, say Rarowa, Raro. They got him Raro. They got him dead ass drunk. Okay, there's some word like that, right? I don't know. I don't remember. Not that I ever did that. Raro ne, Amtak ne, De Mikdun. They stole the key out of his breast pocket. Kier Chimbana, and they went to the box. Pumo Dorje Ma Yang De Nyin Le Sambo Mine Gamkin Nang De De Ta Be Sinu Meba Sangye De Yan Je Gim Meba La Ang Yan De Sengi Kuro Ye Che. Yeah. Pumo Dorje Ma, the princess, Diamond Girl, on that day, Le Sambo Min, she had some good karma that ripened. Okay? Because sitting there in the box, De Ta Be Sinu Meba Sangye De Yan Je Gim Meba, She was like crying because she could hear that everyone was talking about Lord Buddha coming to their area, and everyone in the palace, in the nobleman's estate, had gone out to see Lord Buddha, and she was sad because she couldn't see Lord Buddha. Suna Membe, oh, I don't have enough good karma to meet the Buddha. Jagyu Mepala, Ang Nyamse, Sangye Kona La Yi Che Ching Depe. Then, she had this attack of devotion towards the Buddha. You know, like she was weeping in the box and wishing that she could see him. I'm going to start crying too. And Gangi Bupa Ne. Then she looked out the hole, the knot hole, and then suddenly she could see the Buddha's top knot, you know. She's like, wow, you know. Okay, she's in the top. And Bupa Sangye Usutor, Ngo Lingye Tong. She started to see the whole thing. Dadu Sangye Yinpa Mashepe Wangi Nyangen De Kache Ching. Tepe shere ne rimki jate sangye ngan sim tu chao la thak ne. Then, I don't know, something happened and the box flew open and she saw the whole Buddha. Ngan sim tu chao la thak ne. And she was able to look, the Buddha came to her. That's the point, you know. She couldn't get out of the box, but the Buddha came to her. And that's where the quotation comes from. If you want the Buddha in front of you, just wish, and the Buddha will be there. So she like sees him out the hole, and then suddenly she can see the whole thing. He doesn't quite tell the story of the sutra. I'll tell you the whole story. So she sees more and more of the Buddha because her faith gets more and more. And through the hole, she sees more and more. And then she has such good karma from seeing the Buddha and admiring the Buddha. He uses the same wording. It's called, where is that? Dul Shun Jepa. Dul means a snake. Shun means the skin of a snake. Jepa means to shed the skin of a snake. And her old form sloughed off of her body. And she became the most beautiful of women, you know. And the guys are, in the meantime, are trying to break the lock, get into the lock, you know. And they finally open the lock, and they look in, and they're like, damn, now we know why he locked her up. You know, like she is the most exquisite creature in the realm, you know. He was afraid that when he was away, somebody would swipe her, you know. She's so fantastic, and you know, like that. And that's the end of the story. Yeah, and then he quotes that thing. Whoever wants the Buddha to come, just wish, and he'll be there. Okay, he or she will be there. Okay. Somehow we could make that into a movie, I think. Rangre tsopachepetse. In the debate ground in the monastery, sangye tseme mamikpe sacho me. We often come to a point in the debate where we say, there is not a single square inch of the universe which is not in the current observation of enlightened beings. Every inch of the universe is always being watched directly, perceived directly by enlightened beings. Okay. There's this, what's the definition of existence in Buddhism?
That which is perceived by valid perception.
Yeah. That which is perceived by a correct perception is the definition of existence, right? Then the debate comes up in the debate ground. Well, what if the tree falls in the forest, right? And no one's there. And then they say, then they expand the definition. Sangye kitsene mikpa. Shidu kitseni. That which is perceived by the valid perception of a Buddha is the definition of existence, meaning everything that exists is perceived by a Buddha. Okay, every square inch of the universe is perceived by a Buddha. Okay, Che Mawadir Pento Gopayin. He says, if you remember that debate that we had back in the debate ground when we were all teenagers, that will help you appreciate this point. You know, and you have to go a little deeper. Okay, is there any area of the universe which is not currently, and your mind, okay, your deepest thoughts, which is not currently being observed by all the enlightened beings? There is no such place. Okay. Now he says, let's move it to Tantra. Okay. In the debate ground, we say there's not a square inch of the universe which is not always under the direct observation of Buddhas, including your thoughts. But he says, let's bring in Tantra. Nakin ne means, let's bring in a crucial point from Tantra. Dang janang, if we were to, jar means to apply this to tantra. If we were now to apply tantra, char dewa sung jung panam ku tok lo chik to song way. Janang, char dewa sung jung panam ku tok lo chik to song way. It's a little bit easier to understand this concept if we remember, as in tantra, that those who have achieved sumjuk, the combination of the two, enlightened mind and enlightened body, okay? What, gyulu and wisel, clear light and illusory body, okay? Nam ku tuk ngo chik to song, their ku and their tuk are ngo chik. Their mind and body are one. Gyulu, right? Sungjuk. They are the combination of the illusory body and the clear light. So their mind and their bodies are equal. Okay? Ngo chik to songwe. Kembe kar kyap. Kembe kar kyap. Anywhere that their perception extends to, gu yang kyap. The body also extends to that place. Okay? Anywhere they can perceive, their body is also there. Once their mind can reach a place, their body necessarily follows. Okay? Got it? Kyap gopani. Alright? And then he quotes another scripture. Kyenbe kechi chiki kyang. Cheje gyul. Two misspellings there. Korkun. Sheje kyung kor kun kyap chen. Okay? So, kemba means the mind of a Buddha. It means knowledge. Kemba is the honorific, high honorific for shepa, their mind. Okay? Kechik means even a single moment of their thoughts. Kyang means even here. Kyang here means even, not but. Okay? So you gotta be careful with kyang. It can mean but, or it can mean even. Even a single moment of their perceptions. This is misspelled. It should be S-H-E-S. Sheje misspelled kyungkor. D-K-Y-I-L. Okay. Sheje kyungkor means the mandala of all knowable objects. The mandala of all things that can be perceived. Okay. Kyap. Their mind extends there. And they extend to every knowable thing because their mind does. Okay? They can perceive every existing object. Therefore, they are present in all places. Got it? Comfortable? You okay? All right. That quotation, I went and looked it up. It's from a book called Deni Nambar Chepe Delpa. A commentary on distinguishing between the two truths or the two realities. It was written by an Indian pandit named Jnanagarbha, whose Tibetan name is Yeshin Nyingbo. And he has that quotation. Nyunten Rinchen Samikyap. The other two lines of the verse are, if you care, Nyunten Rinchen Samikyap. The jewels of their high qualities are inconceivable. Chua korwa jisi juk. And they spread through the world as does the water of the world. From rain, from dew, from tears, from oceans, from streams and rivers, from underground water. Okay? Water covers the world, and their minds cover the world like water. Okay? I like that. Yeshi ji ne kyab gyopa, kui kyang ni den ne kyab. However many places their understanding can cover, so too does their body extend to those places. I went and found that source. He doesn't mention it. The source is Koinsek. Koinsek is a section of the Kangyur. The Sanskrit is Ratnakuta, and it means piles of jewels. And it's a nice little section of the Kangyur, which is small sutras all smushed together. Okay, You want it, the whole thing from there? It's kind of nice. Namke tseni jitam, it's poetry, okay? Namke tseni jitampa, however far space extends, sangye sukyan de tsamte, the bodies of the Buddhas extend the same distance. Jiten gumbu utsukyan, even just the top knot of the protector of the world, meaning Lord Buddha, namke kamdan sumbalak, extends as far as space itself. Namke jinye kyabgyopa, however far space extends, kukyan denye kyabalak, their bodies also extend that far. Kui jinye kyabgyopa, however far their bodies extend, uki kyande, so it's a long string of however far, also that far. Here it goes. However far space extends, their holy bodies also extend. However far their bodies extend, the light from their bodies also extends. However far the light from their bodies extend, so too does their holy words extend. However far their holy words extend, so far do their holy hearts also extend. However far their holy hearts extend, their love also extends that far. However far their love extends, their wisdom also extends that far. However far their wisdom extends, their body also extends that far. We only got the last two lines. So the whole build-up is very sexy. Okay. Wei Jay Suk misspelled Sumbatar, as this sutra is saying, Rangi Dungi Shiryang Sangye Tamjeki Kembe Kyabe. Say Dungi Shidu Chichen. Dungi Shidir Chichen. Many debates in Buddhism begin with Dungi Shidir Chichen, and it's a difficult phrase. Dun means in front, like Dunke in Tantra. Dungi Shi means the location or the foundation in front of me. Dir means here. So many debates start with Dungi Shidir Chichen, but in common English it just means let's consider the place in front of me. Let's consider the spot between you and me, right, between Kent and me right here. Let's consider this area between you and me right here, you know. Do pretas exist there? You know, and then there'll be a debate like that, okay. Is there a preta sitting there or not? Okay, Dungishi. So here, every place you may be, right in front of you, any place you go, the spot right in front of you is covered by the wisdom of a Buddha, by the perceptions of Buddhas. Therefore, their bodies are also there, because their minds and their bodies are the same. When you get to enlightenment, your mind is your body, and your body is your mind. Okay, if they can think of the spot between me and Ken, then they're here, and they can think of all spots. Therefore, they are everywhere. So it's kind of foolish to visualize a shell of them and then ask them to come and inhabit the shell. Okay, the moment you think to do that, they're already there, because they're already there anyway. Got it? Okay, it's a beautiful idea. And it's true. Kukyang kyab. Dena rangi legit ma towa matok. The only problem is that we have karmic obstacles that don't allow us to see that they are there all the time. Matok. Sokshing hlamu pesel tapatsamgi. If you just wish that they were there, the moment you think to visualize your lama, duna shuk. They're there. They're there in front of you. Okay? Then he says, it recalls the story of how Arya Sangha saw Maitreya, which we all know the story. And it also recalls the story of how Chandragomi was able to meet Avalokiteshvara. Okay, so I went and found the one story we all know. I'll give you a quick rundown of it. But I think the Chandragomi, I didn't know that story. So I went and found it. And I'll tell you the whole story, okay? I cut it out and put it in the text. So the story of Maitreya, which probably most of you know, is... And I apologize if I get it wrong, but that's how these things get corrupted. We translated it somewhere. I think when we did the Uttara Tantra or something. But so Arya Sangha... 17, 16 centuries ago,
wanted to meet Maitreya. So he decided to go to a cave and practice Maitreya practice. And there's more to the story, but I think he practiced for 12 years in the cave, and he tried to have a vision, or he tried to meet Maitreya, and he failed. And after 12 years, he got tired, and he thought, you know, this is useless, it's never going to happen. So he decided to leave the cave, leave retreat, go to town, probably get a job at Starbucks or something, I don't know. So he decided to walk to town, and on the road he saw a dog that had been run over by a wagon, and the wheel of the wagon had almost severed the dog's body in half. So there was just the spine, and the belly of the dog was cut open by the wheel, and its guts had spilled out. So you know, he stops and looks at the dog, and the dog is still alive. And he's like, I gotta help this dog, you know. I gotta stop and help this dog. Everyone else is ignoring the dog, you know. So then he's like, I'll sew up the guts, or I'll put the guts back in his body. And then he starts to try to put the guts back in the body, and then he sees maggots on the guts, you know, fly maggots. And he's like, I gotta get these maggots off of here, you know, before I can sew the dog up. And then he starts to pick them off, and he notices that he's crushing them. Like, they are, you know, they're like indicating that they don't like it. Then he says, they don't like my fingers because they're too dry. So I need something wet to pick them up with. Take them off the dog's guts, put them someplace where they can survive, and then sew up the guts of the dog. So he's like, what is soft and wet that I can pick them up with? And then he's like, I can use my tongue, you know. Like, they'll be comfortable with that, you know. So there's this story that he's like grossed out. He's like, I'm going to lick a dog's guts that are half rotten. And he's like, all right, you know. Then he closes his eyes, and he goes down with his tongue out, and then his forehead hits the ground, bung. You know, and he's like, nope, where'd the dog go? And he looks up, and there's Maitreya standing there, you know. And he says, you were the dog? You know, and then Maitreya says, yeah, I was the dog, you know. And then he doesn't get happy, he gets angry. He says, God damn, you know, I've been waiting 12 years. I did your mantra for 12 years in the cave, and you know, and you didn't show up, and now you're like a dog guts. What's wrong with you, you know? And then Maitreya's like, no, it's your fault. You had a karmic obstacle. I was in the cave for 12 years next year, you know? You used to spit on me. You know, you would clear your throat and spit, and I had to jump out of the way. You know, it's your fault. You know, I was there the whole 12 years, you know? It's your problem. You know, you didn't have enough love. Man, now you have enough love. You, when you touched the dog with your tongue, you had enough love. Now you can see me, you know. Then he's like, God damn, I saw Maitreya. And he grabs him and he puts him on his shoulders and he runs through town. Maitreya's here, I got Maitreya. Then half the people think he's crazy, you know. They can't see anything. Here's this guy running around with nothing on his shoulders, saying he's got Maitreya, you know. And then some lady saw a dog, you know, and then she got to be an Arya from that. There's a story like that. It goes on like that, okay? Then, of course, Maitreya taught him the five great books of Maitreya, which we have studied, right? Uttara Tantra, Mundogya, which we are studying in the Umachita, right? And that's how they came down to us, okay? That's the story of Maitreya and the dog. So now I want to tell you the story of Avalokiteshvara and Chandragomi, okay? This is from a book on the life stories of the lamas of the Lamrim. I mentioned one yesterday by Sechong Ling, who was a tutor of one of the Dalai Lamas, I think from the 1700s. But this is a separate
one also from the 1600s and 1700s by His Holiness the Second Panchen Lama. So in there I found the story. Okay, so I'm going to just read it to you. All right, this is like a spontaneous translation. Okay, I didn't have time to translate. Dene Tsando Gomi Nalanda Jumba La Nyenkor Ching. Chandra Gomi traveled to Nalanda Monastery and began to pay respect to the lamas there. Da Daktan Denzom, he met Dawa Drakpa. Chandakirti, okay, who wrote the root text for the study of emptiness by all Tibetan schools, okay. Penzin Chuki Droa Zepe, misspelled Droa, but that's okay. They started to do Dharma talk. Okay. I've had a lot of people come up to me and say they learned most of their Dharma in the nectar lounge at Diamond Mountain. Okay, sitting on the couch with the skunks walking around and having discussions with Michael Brannon and such people. And they learned more from those discussions than from coming to class, you know. So they used to do it in the old days too. Okay, Penzin Chukyi Droze. Dadake Kang Tipe Len Tokme Ditap. No matter what question Chandra Gomi asked Chandakirti, he was able to answer it immediately. Tokme is Asanga's name, right? But in answering a question, it means like a hot knife through butter. Okay? Asanga's name means like a hot knife through butter. Okay? Chandra Chenre Silar Tishing Lento Chesu Dang. Second, I gotta swallow this. Chandra Chenre Silar Tishing. Chandra Chenre Silar Tishing Lento Chesu Dang. They say that was sick, they chan my sick, it don't do nothing, I'm not going to do something. I'll just read it to you. I'm not clear. I thought it was the other way around. But anyway, it seems to say, Chandra Gomi would. It looks like Chandrakirti is the questioner, and Chandra Gomi is the answerer. Because Chandra Gomi has some connection to Avalokiteshvara, okay? So whatever it looks like, I'm confused. But anyway, whatever question Chandrakirti would ask, Chandra Gomi would ask Chenre Singh, Avalokiteshvara, and he would get his answers that way. They'd say Dawai Sikpe. Something like Chandrakirti followed him one day. Chenre Singh Doku Shukpe Kangbane Chungwe. And he saw Chandra Gomi coming out of a temple where there was a stone image of Avalokiteshvara. Lanchik der Songte. Then one day he followed him into the temple secretly and hid behind a pillar. Sikte gyabne nyembe chuchaching dupadang sheltak gongte nangduchimba. Then he realized that Chandra Gomi was talking to the statue and getting answers from Avalokiteshvara. Okay. Tuku shel tulte der lopun ki sat hetsugne. Then he would do some kind of thing, and then the statue would be a statue again. And then Chandrakirti wanted to be able to do the same thing. Okay? He wanted to have the same relationship as Avalokiteshvara. So Kongla shel temba tar daklam tendusul. He went to the statue and said, you know, in the way that you are appearing to Chandra Gomi, could you also appear to me? And Che Suwatape, then nothing happened. Then that night he had a dream. In the dream, Avalokiteshvara came to him and said, Kyo Jambel ki jingi lape kepa chambu yin. You are a master who has been blessed by Manjushri. Okay? Nge jingi lame go. So I don't have to appear to you and bless you. You know, you're Manjushri's guy. You're not an Avalokiteshvara guy, you know. You already got Manjushri, so I don't have to come and show myself to you also. Chandra Gomi la chungse chingi lapa yinki deke maser. And anyway, I've only blessed Chandra Gomi a little bit, so don't get jealous. Okay. Then Nel Sete means, then he woke from his dream. Deta Lakyang, then he just yells out, okay, that may be the case, but I still like to meet you. You know, Shaltoma Shu Shue, Shangunduten, and then Avalokiteshvara appeared and showed himself. Dete Daki Chitsukla Shukla, then it changes to the first person, but it seems to me to be Chandrakirti talking, okay, and not Chandragomi, but I'm not sure. And then at that point, I asked him to seat himself on my head in a small form. And I believe it's Chandrakirti talking. I asked Avalokiteshvara if he would seat himself on the crown of my head so that Tamjeki Tungdu, Semjen Tamjeki Towar Zuchik Chesuwe, and then everyone can gain faith in you because there'll be a living Avalokiteshvara sitting on the top of my head. He asked Avalokiteshvara, please sit on the top of my head, you know, like a 4-inch version, talking and moving, you know. Then Chenre Siki Shelning, Semjen Tamjeki Tungdu Songyang. Then Avalokiteshvara said, look, I'm always in front of everybody. Okay? Denam Gileje, but people have some bad karma. Toam Ingyur, they can't see me and they won't see me. Okay? Chikyan Shukshik, well, could you just sit on my head anyway? Papa Chiwakirne. So he agreed. So Avalokiteshvara agreed. What's happening? Avalokiteshvara agrees to sit on his head. Where were we? Then he ran around town saying, you know, Avalokiteshvara is on the tip of my head. Look, Chakche, you should make offerings. You should bow down to him. Che Kyang, Le Chiang Kyang, La Le Chiang La Tong. A lot of people didn't see anything on his head. Okay? Lale Kiror Tong. Kiro. Ki means dog. Ro means dead. Okay, a dead dog. A lot of people saw a dead dog on his top of his head. Okay? Pelchewe. Pelchewe. Most people said he's been practicing too hard, he got lung, and he's nyo, he's gone mad. Most people accused him of having lung and having gone mad, you know. Nyo yinser. Chang Soma, there was one Chang Soma, one barmaid, Shiki, Shap Tsam Tongwa. She had enough karma to see Avalokiteshvara's foot, only the foot. Kyang Tumongi Ngudrup Top, and she achieved siddhas from seeing the foot. Lopan Di Rimoe Le. So that's the main story. I don't think it was Chandragomi, I think it was Chandrakirti, but it's okay. And I think the end of the story gets mixed up a little bit with the end of the story of Maitreya and Arya Sangha, but who knows? Maybe with both of them. Then he says, of course, this master, which I think is Chandrakirti, is famous for having... they needed milk for tea one day, so he drew a cow with chalk on the side of the wall and milked it. Okay, anyway. Yeah, and there's more versions of that story, but I think that's enough. I'm supposed to stop in like an hour. Let me see. I'm going to skip that whole thing. I'll go for two more sentences, and then we'll take a break, okay? Detar tupala junshuki tsulwa mim ngawa. When you think that you would like to have your... We did it this morning, right? In a meditation, when you invite your lama to come so that you can sit with them, don't think that it takes them any effort to come. He says, suwa means premeditated effort. Mingawa, they have no such thing with enlightened beings. They never make effort to do anything or go anywhere. Sugnyen chunudu charvatar. It's natural that when you put an object in front of a mirror, they appear in the mirror. It's not like if you hold an apple in front of a mirror, it's not like the apple has to worry about making it to the mirror. Okay, it's just automatic. When you place an apple in front of a mirror, here he doesn't say mirror, he says chunnu. Chunnu means in a vessel filled with water. You can see reflection of things. Like if you peek into a stream that's still, you will see yourself, right? It's not like you have to think, I wish my face would drop down into the water right now, okay? It's just automatic. As soon as a human being wishes that their lama was there. there, okay? Like water, okay? Like a mirror, okay? As soon as you want them there, they're there. Way, okay? Soshin came a talk to Tunduyukya. As soon as you bring them to mind, they are there, okay? Rang chaki matongwa, but you can't see them. Perna chumi, this is cute, and then we'll stop. Then they say, when you have a spring of water or the keep of a castle, certain kinds of castles, okay? You can't see it, but there are always nagas there, okay? So any body of water, according to Buddhism, you know, there's I think there are dragons in the northern hemisphere, you know, but anyway, they like water. They're always around water. And Zen means some kind of spirit beings that like to hang around old castles. So you go to an old castle, you may not see them, but there's lots of spirits there. And you go to a certain mountain streams, there's always nagas hanging out there. Geshe Lothar said that at the spring of Diamond Mountain, there's a lot of nagas hanging out there. And they're kind of disturbing things. There were also a lot of bloodshed in that place between the Native Americans and the people at the fort nearby. Anyway, but you can't see them. Okay. Last thing, then we'll take a break. The stronger you can bring up the feeling that they are actually there, the more karma is going down. So the more you can get out of visualizing pictures or photos, and the more you can get into the feeling that they are present. Okay, so the main thing in the visualization is not to try to get their left eye straight or their right eye straight, or even though we've spent many days on that, the main thing is, what do you call it? In direct proportion to how strongly you believe they are present, the karma is there. Okay? So it's not how clear, you don't get points for how clear you can visualize them. You get points for how much you can feel that they're really there. And then that's what makes the good karma, so that you can go into meditation. This is all a preliminary to meditation, right? So I actually do that. I don't concentrate on getting their face right. I'm not very good at that. If you asked me to draw my lama's face, I don't think it would be very good, you know? I've tried once or twice. It doesn't look so good. I was in Dharamsala when my friend went to Trijang Rinpoche and gave him a piece of paper and said, could you draw a Buddha? And he went, and it was like perfect. And I kept that for many years. I kept a copy of it. It was extraordinary. But I can't do that. I don't have the capacity to remember their face so well. But to feel they're present is more comforting anyway, right? Just feel that they're there. And that's the main thing. That's the most important thing, okay? Tena kyabhyu dhundu shukshin, but la deta armenyam pe topa sawe chiram. Now he ties it back into why we bring the beings to load the beings, right? He says it's just to get you into that space where you feel that they're really there. And if you don't need to do that, then don't worry about it. You don't have to do this thing of picturing them and then inviting the real one to come down into the pictured one, which we do in the Vajrayogini sadhana. It's when we do Dzahum Bahu, okay? So he says if you could just from the beginning appreciate that they are there as soon as you wish they were there, then you don't have to go through all this thing of bringing them from some other place, okay? Got it? We'll take a break. A wah-wah break. How about 10, 15 minutes? We'll start again at 4 and we'll go for another half hour, okay? All right. So this lady named Magadhasamo was sent to another city. I think by her father, she was married off to this guy, okay? And then... the family that she was sent to stay with had a relationship with some, like, I don't know how to say, they were people practicing like miracles and stuff. They could do miracles, okay? And so, it's going to take a long time this way, isn't it? I'll just tell you the story. Okay? I could go through it, but just to put it briefly so you know, because it's a famous story and it comes up a lot, but nobody ever recites the whole thing. So, there was a family. She was sent away to be with the family, far away from where the Buddha was staying and his disciples, his principal disciples. And then her mother-in-law said, "We're lucky today because some miracle workers are going to come to the house and we're going to give them lunch." Then she assumed it was two of the Buddha's main disciples, like Moggallana and Katyayana. Then she got really happy and she burst into the dining room to see her heroes. And it was just a couple of local, like, magicians, you know. So then she said, "These are your miracle workers, you know, mother-in-law." And mother-in-law said, "Yeah, they can lift up spoons and, you know, stuff like that." I'm exaggerating, which is unusual. But anyway, so then she said, "Well, how about we invite some people I know? My teacher, how about we invite my teacher? And then, you know, maybe he could show you something, you know." So she says, "Okay, but he has to come tomorrow, you know." And then she did some prayer to Lord Buddha and mentally asked him to come. And then he agreed to come, right? And then they drew lots about which monks would be able to accompany Lord Buddha. I read this in the Munich airport, I remember. We were changing planes. They said, "Let's choose lots of who gets to go with Lord Buddha." And then they said, "You can't come unless you can travel in the air, because it's a couple of days away and we have to be there by tomorrow for lunch." You know, they made this announcement. So there was one old monk and he was like, "Dang, I really want to go, you know." And I think it's Moggallana, who's a master miracle worker, you know. It's called a Tseshing. This is how you take a vote in the monastery. They come by with a platter of sticks about this long, and you pick one. And then you go lay it in a pile to vote yes or no. This is the ancient system. We still do it at Sera Monastery. Like for the summer retreat, it's required that you vote to decide whether we will have a summer retreat, you know? And so you all go to the main temple and there's 2,000 sticks. And they hand out, everybody gets a stick. And then they walk around with platters, the yes platter and the no platter.
And then you put your stick on the platter. It's a way of taking a vote 2 to 2,500 years ago. And then they pile them in a pile. And the yes, and then they're required to count the yes sticks and the no sticks. I've never seen anybody vote no. But they still go through the whole thing. So there's 2,400 sticks there, and they count them. And somebody certifies the count. This is the old system. And it takes like 3 hours, and everybody's sitting there and going like this, you know. And the abbot is carefully counting the sticks. So anyway, anybody who wanted to go for lunch in Chicago from New York, and they have to be there tomorrow by flying themselves, they had to take a stick. So one old man was like, I really want to go, but I don't have miracle powers, you know. And he said, you know, if Buddha would only grant me miracle powers, I could go. And that was enough faith that his hand turned into an elephant trunk. And he was like, and he, you know, he got miracle powers. So they decided to take him also. And then, so the mother-in-law and Magadha Sangmo are standing on the balcony waiting for these guys to come, you know. And then suddenly, in the sky comes a chariot driven by 12 Garuda birds, like phoenixes, right? Flying through the sky, and they're like, and there's this beautiful poetry about how they look flying through the sky, and they're drawing a chariot, you know, and then it parks outside the balcony, and the monk gets out, and the mother-in-law's like, God, your teacher's amazing, you know, and she's like, this isn't my teacher, this is like the lowest monk in their whole group, this is a guy who had an elephant hand, you know, you know, and then they're like, oh, here comes another one, you know. But they come in like aircraft, you know, into an airport. And they each have like, somebody has flying elephants and somebody has, I don't know, they're standing on these geese and surfing in to the balcony and they get off the geese. And, you know, one by one they come with miracle powers. And then I forget how Lord Buddha arrives, but you can look it up. Anyway, that's the story he's referring to. They show up. You have to think that your teacher is arriving in amazing. If you want to bring them in a chariot pulled by phoenixes or like that, that's what he's talking about. Okay, that's what the reference is to. They'd say, Shokshin Nanki, Tuke Sabanli, is there true? Do you mind if we go a little bit over? We have about another 5-10 minutes. It's okay. Shokshin Nanki, Tuke Sabanli, is there true? Then from those sacred syllables at the 5 points on the lama's bodies, fly out rays of light. And they bring a complete set of the same lamas out of the hearts of every Buddha in the universe. Okay. Chatsang Chitigyur. Layang Dele Mambo Chune. Then out of them are emanated more groups of tsokshings. The spirits of all the lamas in the tsokshing descend into each figure in the tsokshing. And that's where you invite the spirit and stuff it into the picture. So then they become all the Buddhas in the universe, each person. Dita chepa rangre tsokshing la sangen gi namtok min chungman dang. The reason we do that is that you're supposed to think that there's no better or worse person in the whole picture. Each is equally enlightened. Okay. The maombala nam lamdan jedu ki tenda shik ya. There's also a tenda which relates to the future, both during your practice and at the final goal of your practice. Okay. And he doesn't say what. Like, you're supposed to think about it, you know. Why would inviting them all to be in each person be important for your future? He leaves it unspoken. He says, there's something important here. That's your homework, okay? And tell Guadalajara. Okay, last thing. Guk shuk ching nye. Say guk shuk ching nye. Chepa ngat lu yin. the tantric way is to do guk, shuk, ching, nye, okay? These are four steps in tantra when you invite a lama to come in front of you. And they are reflected in the four syllables, ja, hum, vang, ho, okay? Ja, hum, vang, ho, in the tantra, in the tantric tradition, okay? Ja means, guk means, guk is cute. Guk means, you hook a person and go, okay, like you grab some holy being. Like if your teacher lives in Flagstaff, Arizona, and you imagine like a fishing fly thing, and you go, and you hook them, and then you, what do you call it? Reel them in. That's called guk. Okay, you guk them, and then you reel them in, okay, to your room a couple hundred miles away. Okay, guk. First you got to guk them. Then shuk means they descend into the being that you are imagining. So he's describing how you do that practice of bringing the spirit into the being. You guk the spirit, then you let it come down into the picture. Okay, you can also do this with statues or paintings that you have. Okay, ching means then you bind them to the picture and they have to stay there. By the way, that's the vam in tantra, okay? And then nye means you have to imagine that they're happy to, what do they call it? Happy to be here? What was that? Glad to be here. Exactly. They're supposed to be glad to be here. That's the motto of John's company and of the Blue Angels, I guess. So you're supposed to end everything with glad to be here. So nyepa means the whole in Sanskrit. Means they're glad to be there. I say, first you guk them, then you shuk them, then you bind them, and then they're like, hey, that was okay, I like it, I'm happy to be here, I'm glad to be here. Then you have to imagine that, you know, you interrupted them from cooking dinner or something, but and you guk them all the way to Camp Verde or something, and but they're okay with it, they're happy to be there, okay? That's the practice. That ends a major section of, just by good luck, okay? That ends a major section of this text, all right? We'll start in Guadalajara what's called Trusul. Say Trusul. Trusul is a very, very, very beautiful practice where you bathe your teacher, okay? You bathe your teacher. And there's a special ritual. And it's very, very, it sounds corny. And we'll get ready for it, and I'll show you how to do it. It's very sweet, okay? You have a silver basin of pure silver, okay? Like a bowl, like a little punch bowl about this big. And then you have a silver vase. And you have a silver, the old-time mirrors were beaten metal. Right? They weren't glass. And you have an old-time mirror. You have a piece of silver beaten into a beaten silver disc, which has a hole punched in the edge. And then you tie silk cloth to the hole. And then you can hold it by the cloth. And the silk, the steel, the silver disc, which is slightly, what do you call it? Convex. It's a little bit bent like that. It's hammered into that shape. It's about this big. And then you take a peacock feather, you know, and there's this beautiful ritual, and you dip it in the vase, you know, and then you draw, there's a really cool mystic design that you draw on the you draw it on the silver disc. It looks just like a tic-tac-toe thing. Okay? It's exactly like a tic-tac-toe thing, but don't tell anybody. Then, you know, and then you dip it again and you, and there's nine rooms of a, what do you call it? Turkish bathhouse. It's a bathhouse, okay? And then you place the five Buddhas in the bathhouse, and then you place your lama in the middle, and then you start bathing the lama you know. And it's very beautiful. It's a very beautiful practice. You imagine bathing your lama's body, okay? And then at the end, you have to dry them with a special towel, silk towel, and there's a special way to do it. They don't like to be dried the wrong way. They're very particular about how they get dried, and sometimes they will correct you. It's a very, so he acts the whole thing in the, it's coming up next, it's called Trisul, okay? I think it's beautiful to learn how to do it. And Rinpoche was very good at it. Then you can do it at home, you can do it on your own. But it's a very beautiful practice to bathe the body of a Buddha, right? So we'll do that in Guadalajara. Maybe we'll take a trip to the San Miguel surf beach to do that. All right, so we should... So again, my purpose of doing this particular class is to pass on, in an authoritative and proper way, an ancient tradition. And it's going to take a long time, and it's difficult for you. I know it's difficult to sit there for many hours, and I'm going through the Tibetan word for word. But I want the tradition passed on properly. And so generally I'm doing all this dumb stuff in DCI, and thousands of people come and I make them exaggerated promises of wealth and etc. But this is, you know, this is the basis of that. It has to be based in some very ancient detailed tradition. So it may seem crazy to you, all the detail and stuff like that, but I want to give this transmission in a pure way and in an authentic way. And so I appreciate that you care to come. I know it's not easy to sit there and hear it so slowly, but it means a lot to me to be able to pass it on to somebody. Then you have to take responsibility to pass it on to other people in your own way, okay? But you should think about that, you know, like just the bathing practice, you know. You could have a little bathing practice seminar or something, and everybody gets a bowl, and I think crystal would work well or something like that. And just, they're all beautiful practices, right? So pass them on in your own way. I don't think it's necessarily in a 12-year course. It may be that you choose certain sections that mean a lot to you, and then you pass them on to other people. I know, like Kent, sent me an email one day. He says, I was at a yoga festival, and I taught, I don't remember what it was, but he taught one of the detailed practices at the yoga festival, and it went over very well. And I like that kind of thing. So you could create little, you know, classes or courses from parts of this Lamrim and then pass it on that way to people. Okay? All right, so let's do... Venerable Phil's going to read some long thing. Okay.
To the east is Great Body, to the south is Zambu, to the west is Cattle, to the north is Sound of Terror. Body and Great Body, Ox Tail and the second, Moving and the High Path, Sound of Terror and its mate. Here is the Jewel Mountain, the Tree of Wishes, the cow that gives whatever you want, crops that grow themselves. Here is the precious wheel, the precious jewel, the precious queen, the precious chancellor, the precious elephant, the precious horse, the precious general, the gold mine of Oz. Here is the lady posing lovely, the lady of the garland, the lady of song, the lady of dance, the lady of flower, the lady of incense, the lady of lamps, the lady of perfume. Here is the sun, here is the moon, the jeweled parasol, the banner of victory. Here in the middle are all the riches of gods and men, excellent, total, all there is, totally pure, exquisite. All this I offer to my kind and holy root and lineage Lamas, and especially do I present this paradise to my Lama, the holy angel of diamond, and to her angel retinue. Give in to your compassion, and for the sake of every living being, accept my offering. Accept and grant your blessing to me. Here is a world of mountains and continents, the precious ones and the gold mine vase, the sun and moon as well. All of them come from the heaps and parks and gateways that are me, held by the mind of wisdom, simultaneous bliss and emptiness. I offer this world to you, my Savior and Protector, treasure of compassion. I offer to you without hesitation my loved ones, my enemies, and everyone between. For these are the things that inspire in me attachment, anger, and ignorance. With them I offer my body and all the things I own. Please give me your blessing. Let the three poisons vanish from me.
Good.